God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and we're the 3rd of October 2018, and I'm just so very blessed. As you know, 3 days ago my grandson was born, and that brought great joy to all of our lives, and we were so happy and so blessed, and he came out healthy and strong, 6 pound 12, and I was thinking, you know, how that when someone is born again, how all the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner repenteth, and how the heart of God must be thrilled, and how the family of God, you know, rejoice because someone's become born again of the Spirit of God. And I was also getting to thinking about how that everything for Vinny, that's my grandson's name, was provided for before he was born. And God in Christ has provided everything for the believer before they're born again. When someone confesses Jesus Christ as their Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, they're born again, and everything that God has provided in Christ is theirs. It becomes theirs as a child of God, as joint heirs with Christ, as heirs to God. It's just so amazing. And this verse kept coming up in my mind the last couple of days, and I was meditating upon it, and it got me going to the scriptures to have a look about righteousness. And in Luke 24:49, it says, "And behold," Jesus was talking to his disciples, "I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And that means, that word endued is clothed. See, the Spirit of God is our clothing, it's our new garment. When Vinny was born, he was born into this world with nothing, he was naked. But he had clothes fit for a king, fit for a prince, for him, waiting to be put on him, to distinguish him, to keep him warm. And it was just so wonderful. And then you think the breast of the mother, the milk's there naturally for it to be fed straight away. Everything's taking care of that newborn baby. And just like as we're born again, everything God has taken great care of. And our old man nature, which was naked before God, just like Adam and Eve in the garden, they were naked. When they sinned, when they broke that fellowship, they become naked and they hid themselves. But now we're born again, we're clothed with that Spirit of God, is our righteousness. And when we confess Jesus as our Lord and we receive the Spirit of God, we were clothed with power from on high, and our new garments is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Before Almighty God, we are righteous, we are right and just, and we are his sons and daughters. Okay, we're accepted in the Beloved. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and our new garments he has replaced for our old garments, which were filthy rags. God now sees you as he sees Jesus. And we are guiltless, faultless, and innocent, and holy. We don't have to act holy. We are holy because we have the Spirit of God. We are innocent. We are faultless. We are guiltless. And we got great access to God, and we can have great confidence before God. In Isaiah 64:6, it says, "But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." God's righteousness is always more in quality and quantity than ours will ever be. See, our actions or work does not make us righteous. We are not made right by what we do. Righteousness is a gift by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross. This produces a change within someone's heart. Our actions cannot change our heart. If you think that doing right makes you right before God, it's the same error that the Pharisees made. It's not that we clean up our actions that our heart will become clean. See, our actions are an indicator of what is in our hearts. Actions are the fruit the heart produces, and religion focuses on changing what people's actions are instead of changing their heart by preaching the good news to them. Laws only affect actions, but the gospel changes hearts. Once someone's heart has changed, then you will see their actions change. Romans 3:23 says, "We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God." When we believe on Jesus Christ, we get what he deserved. We don't get what we deserve. We're saved by God's wonderful grace, not by our works or our effort. The righteousness which comes from God is a gift, and people can become frustrated by trying to establish their own righteousness through good works. Again, in Romans 10:3 it says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." See, God doesn't relate to you on the basis of your work or your effort. Believers who do not understand their righteousness of God opens them up to a feeling of being unworthy and guilt and condemnation. They're always trying to do something to feel right before God. And when they accomplish something, they're so happy. But we should be happy and at peace when we're in relationship with God, because we understand what has been done for us in Christ. Galatians chapter 2, let's have a look at some of these records. They're really great for helping us to understand our righteousness. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, by the faith of Christ, and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Galatians 3:24 says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." See, everything is by faith. When we believe God by faith, we receive everything from God by faith, we give by faith, we serve by, we do everything believing God. Verse 25 says, "But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The just shall live by faith." I taught this at the beginning of the year. You know, the just shall live by faith. It says it four times in the scriptures. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And that's just so wonderful, is by faith in Christ Jesus and what he done, what he accomplished for us. It's not by your works, your education, how smart you are, what you do know, what you don't know, but it's by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything we receive from God is by faith. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 to 24 says, "That you put off concerning the former conversations or behavior, the old man." Okay, the ones with the filthy rags. The old man is the one with the filthy garments, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. "And be renewed in the spirit," or the life of your mind, "and that you put on the new man," that new man which is clothed in righteousness, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. See, that's the true holiness. You are righteous in Christ. See, your new identity is what God has done for you. And when we grab hold of our righteousness in Christ, we can see that everything we need in life is met as we seek him first and his righteousness. See, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you need will be added unto you, is already there. We receive it by faith, and we receive it by walking in his righteousness, not our own. We don't have to struggle and strain. God really wants you to enter into his rest. He wants you to cease from your own work. Stop trying to work the things out yourself. Okay, you got great connection and access to God, and he wants you to go to him, and he will give you the understanding that you need. When you need to understand something from the scriptures or what's going in your life, you go to God, and he'll direct you. He'll show you where to go in the scriptures. He can put the answer in your heart by his spirit. Jesus Christ always done what the Father taught him. He received revelation from God what he needed to do in his situation and circumstances. He knew the scriptures as well. Yes, we know he knew the scriptures. He was the living word. But his living relationship was with God, and he manifested the power of God bringing deliverance. And by being obedient to God and listening to the voice of God and being led by the Spirit of God, he was able to fulfill all the prophecies concerning him. He fulfilled many prophecies when he was in his ministry, when he done his year ministry. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 21. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, He is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That new man starts to shine. That righteousness starts to shine and live in your life. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. See, God reconciled us. We didn't reconcile ourselves to God. He reconciled ourselves to him by the preaching of Christ, through Christ, what he accomplished in the preaching of the word. And when we believed it, we became born again. But God done the work. He first loved us. Okay, it's not that we first loved him. He first loved us. To know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. What part of the work did you do? You didn't do nothing but believe. Not imputing or counting their trespasses unto them. God wasn't counting your sins. And have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He's given us that word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors, representatives for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Like Paul saying, be reconciled to God. You are reconciled to him now in your mind, in your heart, and your spirit. Be reconciled to God. Know that he's the one that's leading you. He's the one that's working in you. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the what? The righteousness of God in him. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We have been made the righteousness of God through what Christ accomplished. And when our minds are being renewed as we're led by the Spirit of God, we begin to see clearly. We behold all things as new. That new man, that new garments are shining. People see a difference. Okay, and we can see and think about ourselves as God sees us. And we have a new focus and a new perspective in life as born-again believers. We see ourselves as God sees us. And then we can see others as the same way and not after the flesh. We're not to look at each other after the flesh. We're not to know each other after the flesh. But we see each other as God sees us, that righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the new man, the man filled with the Spirit of God, the woman filled with the Spirit of God. And in that is no judgment, no negatives, no divisions, no splits, no difference of opinion, because we know that we got the same source, which is God, and we got his word, and it keeps us anchored. And we're anchored through Jesus Christ. He is the anchor of our soul. We no longer see any man after the flesh. We do not even see ourselves after the flesh. But we now live and move and have our being in God. And as he, Jesus Christ, is, so are we in this world. This is what the scriptures show us about who we are. See, when we walk with our carnal mind, we will not see this new man or this new woman in Christ that we are. And we become limited. We live from the place of the old man. Okay, the old man nature, which is earthly, sensual, and devilish, filthy rags. Okay, and we see from the worldly perspective, but God has made you the head and not the tail. God has put you above, not beneath. You are seated at the right-hand side of God in Christ Jesus. Everything is met for you. Everything, spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, materially. And you've got authority that you can live and move. You can move with joy. You can move with peace. And the things that you do will bring peace and healing and deliverance and reconciliation. Because that's who we really are. And I'm beginning to see this. God is just unveiling these truths, taking the veil off my eyes to see these things as I connect to him, the fountain of living water. Okay, and he is the fountain of living water. Let's not forsake God, who is the fountain of living water. He has the endless supplies of answers. See, but when we are being led by the Spirit of God, with our minds being renewed, because we're being led, and we'll have his truths, and we'll understand who we are now. We'll rise up like the wings of eagles. We'll soar to new heights. Okay, we will see things from our seated position in Christ, so we can reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. What does it say in Romans? Romans 5:17 says, "For if by one man offence, death reigned by one, much more they which receive an abundance of grace and the what? Gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." We've got an abundance of grace, and that grace is God's unmerited divine favor. That grace is that God does the works. We submit ourselves unto God. and we do the things that he shows us and leads us to do. And this righteousness is a gift. You couldn't earn it. You're not smart enough. I'm not smart enough to get this righteousness. And any type of righteousness you think you got from your own strength is not the righteousness of God. It's your own righteousness. And it doesn't produce anything. See, we think and speak from the new man. That's what God wants us to do. We know we are right standing with our Heavenly Father. We know everything that he has promised to us is ours through Christ. And our focus will be to do the things that please God. See, self has no part in the mind of the believer. And in the heart of the believer, that's affection is set on things above and not on the things of this world. Or not on their own agenda or how they think God would have the word move. God will show you how to do it when you're submitted to him. See, our righteousness is not based upon our own effort, our own knowledge, our own insight, or our own understanding or work. But our righteousness is based on what Jesus Christ accomplished at the cross. He's left us an example to follow. He's blazed the trail for every single believer. And we have a new life, not because of anything we have done, but because of what Jesus done. Okay? In your own efforts, you cannot be righteous with God. But Jesus Christ has made you righteous, for he is righteous. And God is righteous. And we take after our Heavenly Father. And we got the mind of Christ because we have the Spirit of God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, this favor of God, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. See, we got direct access with God. And we got peace with God. We shouldn't be shook up every day. We shouldn't be shook up in our relationships. We shouldn't be shook up in our ministry. Because we got, by faith, direct access to God. By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There shouldn't be any room for self-condemnation, guilt, or shame, or I messed up, or I done wrong. We don't put our focus there. Romans 5:2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. We ask God to give us the favor that we need so that we can keep standing and that we can keep rejoicing and that we got that hope of the glory of God, that Christ is coming back because of what God has made available to mankind as born again sons of God. We can stand in the presence of God without any consciousness of sin, guilt, or shame. And you have access to God and you can come before God's presence boldly and with great confidence, knowing that you are right and just before him because Jesus Christ paid that price for you. And it really blessed me. I was chatting with someone today that has to go to court. And it really got my mind that this person has to put their case before the judge. Now, we got direct access to God. And we're, you know, we can cast all our cares to him. We can give him the things that are in our life that are not right. We can go to him. God is the great judge and we got access to him. And we can go to God with our case. And we can say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ as your son before you. I lay my case before you. And I thank you that the courts of heaven will listen to my plea. And I thank you that I have an answer, which is yes, because of what Jesus Christ done. And Jesus Christ is our lawyer, our solicitor, our attorney. And so when we go to God, knowing who we are, knowing that we're righteous, that we're standing before him with our petitions, knowing that he hears us as sons, we know that he's going to give us what we got, what we need for our lives. So you can go boldly before God. And I encourage you, whatever needs are in your life, if it's healing, if it's finances, if it's relationship, whatever it is, take your case before the throne of grace, the courts of heaven. Let your request be made known to God and leave it with the Father because his decision is yes. Okay, he's going to not say no to you. And so like knowing this righteousness gives you that confidence to go to God that when you pray, you can really expect from the Father. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, the five sensitive things, the filthy rags. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. It's not going to produce anything. When you walk by your senses, you're not going to produce spiritual things. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Look, God's designed for the believer to have life and peace, regardless of anything that's going on. You can have life and peace because you know you've got access. You know you are righteous. You know that you are just and right before God based upon what Jesus Christ done. Not upon your own merit, not upon your own effort, your own studying, your own knowledge, your own wisdom. See, God wants you to go to him in his righteousness that he's given you, which is now your righteousness. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Listen, does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Can you speak in tongues? If you can speak in tongues, then you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Okay? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Listen, you can go boldly to God, and you have life, and you have Spirit. You see, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law and sin and death. You are completely free. You are completely righteous. And you can really go to God, and you can really lay everything before him. You can get his direction, his wisdom. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. See, when you wake up in the morning, you decide every day what clothes you want to wear. Do you want to put the garments of righteousness on? The new creation, the mind of Christ, which is life and peace? Or do you want to put on the old clothes, the old man nature, the negatives, the worries, the fears and doubts? Do you want to walk by your senses, which lead to death? There's no peace, there's no joy, there's no flow of the Spirit of God when we're walking by the carnal mind. The carnal mind cuts the connection where we can really hear the voice of God. And God is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And God is faithful. It doesn't matter what your circumstances says. Listen, I know. I live this stuff. I experience stuff. And I've learned through my challenging times not to do things in my own strength. And God has taken me to his word, and God has opened it up to me. And I understand that I am righteous. It's nothing that I do, but my dependency has to be on God. And that's what I taught in my last teaching, depend upon God. If you haven't listened to that, I encourage you to go and listen to that. See, when we walk in our new man nature, then we are a blessing to everyone. Okay, we run to serve when we're in that new man, when we're living that righteous mind and walking in our righteousness. We run to serve. Okay, we walk and manifest the love and the power of God, bringing healing, light, deliverance, direction. And our desire will be God's desire. We will want all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Our focus will be on God. Our focus will be to build up the body of Christ, to bless our brothers and sisters, not to come away from them, not to talk bad about them, not to withdraw from them. That is the carnal mind. And, you know, God has given us great grace, guys. We've got great grace. We should be so thankful for all the things that God does for us. And even when we mess up, we're still righteous before God, but we don't focus on that. We focus on who we are right now. I love this. In Isaiah 32:17, it says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effects of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Let me read that again because it's so powerful. And the work of righteousness, that's not your righteousness, okay, shall be peace. That peace which passeth all understanding. That peace where you hear the voice of God. That peace where you hear the direction of God. And the effects of righteousness is quietness and assurance. In other words, you're not all churned up because this ain't happening for you or that ain't happening for you. Okay, because you know that God is faithful and he'll come through at the right time for you. And you can assure your hearts forever because of this. Romans 6:13. So I just wanted to look at the scriptures on this, because God was just really putting this in my heart to go and have a look at this righteousness, to read through the scriptures and to say what he puts in my heart about it also. Romans 6:13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, because you are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's just powerful. Verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 16 says, being then made free from sin, you are free from sin, you're free from bondage, you're free from the curse of the law, guys. You became the servants of righteousness. Okay, we're servants of righteousness. Wow. Verse 19 says, I speak after the manner of man, because of the infirmities of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servant to uncleanliness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You want to know about holiness? It's right there in your righteousness. Romans 16:20 says, for when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You know, you didn't have righteousness because you served sin. But now we're free from sin, we serve in righteousness. Romans 8:4 says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8:10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. See, righteousness is powerful. Romans 10:3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, talking about Israel, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Guys, just submit yourself unto the righteousness of God. Right, it's his righteousness he's given you as a gift, and is given to you through Christ. And when you walk in that righteousness, then you're walking free from sin. Okay, you got the power over sin. You got the power over the things that would hold you back. Romans 10:4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that what? Believes. Verse 5, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which do if those things shall live by them. You want to live under the law? You want to do things by the works? Then you live by them, but you're going to fail. Verse 6 says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend up into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith we preach. Very simple, very, very clear. Verse 9, 10, and 11. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Beautiful, beautiful record. See, we believe unto righteousness. Okay, with the heart we believe unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto deliverance, wholeness, soundness. Okay, and whosoever believeth not, whosoever shall worketh and struggle and strain and try and get it all right, you ain't going to get it all right. Okay, we're going to mess up at times, right? That's why we need God's grace. That's why we need God's mercy, which we have. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I. He's not living by his senses anymore. He's not living by his religion anymore. but Christ liveth in me. That's the life I'm living now, with Christ living in me, that Spirit of God which has clothed me, which is my righteousness, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness cometh by the law, or by works, for our example, then Christ is dead in vain. See, he's talking about the law of Moses. It says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain. But he isn't dead in vain. Okay? It's just really powerful. We don't do anything in our own effort, strength, or ability. But we allow God to work. We remain in the vine. Okay, we remain tapped to the Master, tapped to the Father. Jesus Christ said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, if what you're yoked to is heavy, then you need to get rid of it. It's not, you're not yoked to the Master. You need to be yoked to the Master in your heart and mind, because you are in spirit. But you need to line your mind up with the Spirit of God. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and the burdens that I give you are light. If things are heavy, you're running with the wrong guy. Okay, you need to run with Jesus Christ. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to look at another record here, and we're going to finish off here. And it's John 16:17. I haven't gone into it too deeply, but just reading it kind of blessed me. And in verse 7 it says, nevertheless, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, talking about the Spirit of God, which was yet to come upon him, right, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And we know he departed, we know he's seated at the right hand side of God, and we receive the Spirit of God, right? And when he has come, he will reprove, or convince, that word reprove can be convince. And he will come, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin, referring to the unbelievers, because they believe not on me. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He's talking to the believers right there. Okay, this Spirit of God is going to persuade you, convince you of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And that's really powerful. You know, seek ye God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you. Everything that God has provided is provided for you, and you don't even have to ask for them if you just walk in your righteousness, recognizing that you're righteous. And first Lemon says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Satan's already judged, okay, his time is short, and he's been dealt with. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, talking about the Comforter, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. See, God is at work in you. God is leading you. God is guiding you. God is directing you. God is opening up the understanding of his word to you, the scriptures. Okay, so go to God. Walk in his righteousness, not your righteousness. It's not about how smart you are, how clever you are. But be humble and meek before the Father. And realize there's nothing that you can do and accomplish in your own ability, wisdom, or strength. But you need to submit unto God and let him lead you by the Spirit, and let him open up the scriptures to you. And when you do that, when you're humble and meek, he will exalt you. He will promote you so you can continue to promote him. But if you try and promote yourself by figuring out a system, they're broken systems that can hold no water. So go to the fountain of living water. And that's what I wanted to share. So God bless you.